broadcasting from New Zealand, live from the future, and the future looks shite. It certainly does, doesn't it? You ever had one of those days when you wake up in the morning and you think the whole day's going to go to crap, and then it does? That's kind of what New Zealand has to look forward to. It's all the way tucked away down here. Everybody thinks they're safe. Everybody thinks they're away from tyranny and oppression. And, you know, we're the least corrupt country in the world. Hey, correction, the perceived least corrupt country in the world, according to Transparency International. The other top two, of course, are Singapore, which is run by one man and his family, and Finland, which has like 14 million immigrants. Oh, sorry, 14 million people, 4 million people, sorry. And they let in about 500 immigrants a year. New Zealand has 4 million people. We let in about 50,000 immigrants a year. So there you go. When it comes from officialdom, there's probably something amiss. Otherwise, why the hell would they be in a position of authority? Good men who care about people usually don't end up in positions of authority. They don't like authority. They don't like controlling other people because they don't like people controlling them. Isn't that the irony? And in this day and age, when you're trying to find somebody to lead you, somebody who to lead the country, to bail it out of a terrible, terrible situation that they caused, you're still perplexed by that humble paradox of individualism versus collectivism. It's quite unfortunate, because then you're just sitting there and you're like, bro, if I as an individual act for the collective good by myself, then that makes a contribution or something, doesn't it? But if the collective does nothing and expects me to do it all for them, then of course they don't actually vibe with the whole gel of collectivism either, do they? Isn't that ironic? That in order to do something for the greater good as an individual, you have to have a kind of collective consciousness idea, even though you're not a collectivist? Is there a war pointlessly going on between the left and the right? I know that'll offend a lot of people, I don't know. I'm very different from people. I usually don't have a whole lot of very emotionally held beliefs. I know that sounds really, really strange. However, if somebody shows me evidence or shows me basically that what I've believed previously is just BS, I abandon my beliefs on a dime. However, you've got to have something good. Really, you do. But unfortunately, after 100 years, in every freaking country I can think of, there's been naught but scumbaggery, getting into the control and the seats in power, and jockeying all of their little roundtable groups back and forth with a little apocalypto cha-cha. These people have been dancing upon the bones and graves, in some cases figuratively, in some cases literally, on the dead bodies of genocide victims the world over throughout recent history. That's the kind of thing that we're up against. Anything quibbling about whether or not you're acting for collective good or individualistic good really matters. Because everybody's like, hey, no, if he's operating under that ideology, then he must be working for them, he must be working for them. I found that there's a lot of different routes to the truth. I'm not like, you know, pigeonholing anybody or naming anybody. I'm actually literally just speaking generally. You know when everybody says, I'm not naming anybody, I'm not thinking of anybody in specific, they actually are. This is the one time when I cannot even think of a single person that really iconifies this. But they do it anyway. Because you don't believe entirely in their way of thinking. Because they know, in quotation marks, they know that whatever ideology you're following is somehow linked to the New World Order. It's somehow evil. It's somehow bad. That your intentions must be awry. There must be some sort of affair going on here. The mind says, you're not who you say you are. You're a socialist. That kind of thing? You're not who you are. You're just a right winger. That kind of thing? It's the same freaking deal, isn't it? It's this false division that's been driven through people. And I think it's because people don't understand either ideology. If they're real smart, they'll understand one of the two main ideologies. And other than that, they kind of block out the other. Whereas I'm starting to really think that there's sort of a symbiosis going on here, because there's a certain amount of collectivism, like i.e. family collectivism, where everybody pitches in and everybody helps each other, because your family, where there's that deep-rooted connection, that seems to actually work for quite a lot of people. You know, when you come home and you don't feel like you're under attack or separate from everybody because everybody's head's glued into a frickin' screen and they don't even know who you are. I think collectivism's not too bad on the small scale. However, if you start bringing that kind of family atmosphere into the political realm, then you get Big Daddy, then you get nanny states, then you get Big Brother. There's the nasty, nasty kind of, what was it, the totalitarian tiptoe that kind of comes off from that sort of distortion of it. Kind of like how people distort quantum physics. Oh, you can change matter with your mind. Therefore, nothing really exists. Life is only a dream. And nothing matters, and it's all just an experience. Kind of misunderstanding the point here. Matter changes when you concentrate upon it or when you will something upon it, because you're actually a powerful being that can change things a little bit. It doesn't mean that you can create that stuff out of thin air. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It just means that you can change things if you choose to. That's the empowering nature of that kind of information. Not some sort of dystopian wah-wah saying, oh, nothing matters. You know, there are people actually saying there's no such thing as good and evil. You know, if you encounter somebody like that, ask them if you can borrow their kids to rape, torture, and kill them, and then see if they get upset about it. And if they do get upset about it, well, obviously they're freaking hypocrites. They don't mind evil as long as it doesn't happen to them. That's called cowardice and moral relativism. Don't do that stuff, bro. There's got to be clear lines in the sands about what's wrong. It's only in a society, I think, that has two very clear right and wrong sort of sides of the track that anybody really has any identity. You're either on the side of the good guys or on the side of the bad guys. And I think what's really kept everybody divided is that nobody knows which side anybody's on. And we're all suspicious of each other. Nobody knows what each other's intentions are. And it's kind of like making up reasons why people have done stuff instead of asking them why they did stuff. Sort of jumping the gun a little bit. Making speculations about people you've never had a conversation with. These are the kind of things that get into nasty arguments. And it's just too much for most people. And interestingly enough, this is a known political tactic, to attack people and be kind of like really rude and defamatory and what have you to people, your opposition specifically, because it puts all the people who are watching off. They don't want to listen to or watch that stuff. Why is this a smart idea? Why is this a tactic that they use, you ask? Well, because they found, in America in particular, when the Republicans used this kind of tactic, that it was their supporters, the Republican supporters, that switched off last. It's their opposition supporters that really, really don't like it and think, oh, well, all is lost, or stop supporting their party first before your own followers do. If you're leading the scumbaggery charge, all the scumbags will fall in line behind you, and then there'll be a big crowd and everybody will think of it as a movement. But if you're part of a bunch of good people who are just being savagely, brutally attacked in the media and everything like that, you don't like the idea of even participating or even talking about it, because you know it's going to like start an argument and you're going to get called names or be shoved or something. It's that kind of partisanship that really, really makes people angry with each other. And why do we do it? Why do we hatch conspiracy theories of our own about everybody around us? Survival, mate. Everybody's got this hyper-survival sense now. Have you noticed? You seen any of these comp videos? New beatings and shootings coming out on YouTube every freaking day, feels like to me. Another person shot. Another person beaten within an inch of their life, pregnant mother, elderly man in a wheelchair. These kind of really horrific stories scream to me of the possibility that we've kind of we've almost crossed some sort of threshold here between a tolerant society and an oppressive society. We tolerate cops killing and beating people, but we don't tolerate people smoking weed and not beating people specifically. It's like Bill Hicks said, never seen anybody on pot get in a fight because it's effing impossible. Hey, buddy, what? End of argument. There's never, ever, ever anything that makes sense in officialdom. It all sounds like it makes sense. You ever notice that? You listen to a speech by Obama in particular. Now, if you want some good gut laughing, come around to my place when I'm watching an Obama speech, like State of the Union or something. Oh my God, the shrieks of belly aching cackles can be heard for quite a distance throughout the surrounding area, because everything he says is some incredible ironic lie and distortion to the point of being campy, almost like it's making fun of itself. And then it strikes you as even more funny because he's not making fun of himself. He's making fun of us. Everybody who's stupid enough to listen to his voice and believe a single word of it. It's excruciating, isn't it? Because you'll watch other people, sometimes people you love, be swept up in this. This fanfare for yet another leader that you're so utterly suspicious of, that you're so sure will betray everything that his office stands for. And yet you can't stop your family, you can't stop your friends, you can't stop your local officials from falling in line. It's unbelievable. Almost like everybody's a robot. Like there's no thought going on here. No, wall goes up. No. Bro, I don't care that you've got evidence, okay? No, I don't care if it's on video. No, I don't care about secret recordings of his. No, I don't care about articles in the Washington Post. No, it didn't happen. No, you don't know anything, son. See, that's kind of it. You come up against this incredible wall of people who will not, under any circumstances, look for facts of their own description. It's quite unfortunate because the infuriating rise that it brings out, it's kind of like that scene in Spaceballs with that final sword play between Dark Helmet and Lone Star. How Dark Helmet comes at him. Lone Star just holds his helmet. He's like a real short guy and he's like slashing his short. He's not getting him. You know, you ever done that with a child? Like the kid gets real, real angry at you and comes at you thrashing with his arms and everything. And you just hold him on his head and he keeps thrashing and everything. He's not hitting nothing. It's kind of like that, but in an argumentative format. You don't have any real threat from these people. It's just kind of freaking annoying to have to just hold them at the head like that and just like, bro, you can calm down now. Sweetie, I think you've had enough cake. No, put down the fork. Mummy's not happy with you. Darling, go back inside, okay? Play your video games in your room. I can't believe the complacency in all of our countries Have you noticed that we basically don't even have any country anymore? No, you know, whoever the hell you are, wherever you're sitting now, if you really looked into it, everything that you thought you had, you probably don't have, bro. Everything you thought was your country or your national identity was probably some concocted historical ruse. Chew on that, son. We've had the entirety of our existence of our nations kept from us deliberately so that we won't realize who's really pulling the strings. History's written by those who have hanged heroes, and our history's been suppressed. I remember so many stories around here in New Zealand, so many researchers dug up amazing stuff about stuff that's like prehistory in New Zealand. You know, Verge being censored of people protesting and stuff. No, we don't want the truth to come out. It's unbearable. Call your names and stuff. The devotion to lies is so sadly similar to the devotion to truth, isn't it? Because when you've got people en masse who have been taught to repeat and regurgitate rather than process, think, and then act, you've got an unwitting army of slaves, an extraordinary facade. Can I say facade on FCC regulated radio? I hope so. Because if there isn't any thought been planted in your mind yet, it's very, very difficult to wake somebody up. All right? Especially if you're in a altercation. Depends on the subject you're talking about. You could basically throw darts at a board and have each and every square on the dartboard be equal to one kind of conspiracy. And one of them might be offensive. Some people are offended by religious conspiracies. Some people are offended by scientific and technological conspiracies. Others are offended by space travel ones. There's some kind of thing to worry about all the time. But yes, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's a listener-supported broadcast, so please go to the homepage there and make a donation today. I had a message from a listener earlier asking what time, goodness knows, what time is the Vinnie Eastwood Show on? Because, you know, we've got a whole globe out there, so the time's different depending on where you are. I don't even really know the two time zones, bro. It's real nasty. I think, like, in Britain, it's like 3 a.m. the show starts. So if you're, you know, one of those conspiracy theorists like me who sits long into the night watching documentaries, you might pause one of them, pause a seven-hour documentary in order to listen to 2 hours of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Or, like most people, have got a schedule to keep, that includes sleep, you can indeed find archives to Vinnie Eastwood Show episodes on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. The little slider there. No, seriously, the slider just keeps changing, changing, changing. And you can just sit there and watch it until you see a show that you like. little unique feature there. And just click on it and it takes you straight to the archive page, which will also have links to the YouTube video version of it. She'll be nice, son. In American Freedom Radio, I'm not 100% sure what the intel is on the new archive section, or even if we have the old archive section. I haven't checked up on it. But, you know, it's good to be back on live radio anyway. So if you're in New Zealand, instead of the UK, instead of 3 a.m., it's going to be 4 p.m. in the afternoon, son, from Tuesday through Friday. And in the United States, 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Central, and 10 p.m. Eastern, which is Monday through Thursday. There's a little time difference, and it's really, really weird. Everybody's on different dates and days. It can be confusing. I admit. But as long as you know your own zone and the time the show is on, then you can listen into it. And you can even listen on your phone. If you go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, there's a wee smartphone app there, bro. How about them apples? Just starts playing right away. Great. You listen to it anywhere. You can even have your headphones in at work. Nobody will know that you're listening to Subversive Broadcasting. Nobody. Not even the boss. I mean, the NSA might know about it, but hey, you know. I figure if you're under surveillance, give them a good show. And that's what we aim to do here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Just for you, Mr. NSA agent, Mr. Ubiquitous They, or Mrs. for that matter, or even Miss, or Ms. Isn't that interesting how there's only one Mr., but there's Mrs., Ms., or Mr. I also notice the plural of Mrs. Like, you know, if there's two dudes and their wives are off together or something like that, it's like having a pair of scissors before your missus, you know, the missus scissors, that kind of thing, wandering off, having a good time. What the hell was I talking about? How did it get onto this? Gotta be freaking kidding me. Unbelievable. I was talking about American Freedom Radio and how good it is to be back live, regular days of the week. There's kind of a momentum and a pace that sort of builds up when you've got this kind of amount of hours of radio to do. Radio's a tough genre, mate. Ooh. I mean, if you're like me and you like stress out when things are like coming down to the wire or everything, oh, mate, radio's a tough place to be. Trust me, I know. There've been many times when there have been muted screechings and whatnot uttered in this office. Quite extraordinary. Painful. And loud. When things go wrong and everybody can hear them going wrong, it ups the tension factor. Because you think about everything, how it reflects upon you. You become kind of, I don't know, is it egocentric? Because when you're on radio and you're talking to thousands of people, is it egocentric to think that you should be accountable for the words of your voice? I don't think so. But some crazy stuff does go down, man. Delays, losses of data, all sorts of things. It's almost like life tries its damnedest to kick you and get you down. And then kick you while you're down. It'll throw innumerable barriers in your way to whatever it is you want to do. No matter how simple the process seems. Oh, I'm going to do this. No, son. Sometimes the universe tests you and says, ha-ha, I'm just going to make this particularly difficult right now for you. You know? And I love those moments. Like, I hate them, and I kind of don't deal with them well, probably. but I love them in the sense that when things aren't going your way, it tests you more than the good times do. It's almost like getting too comfortable makes you weak. That you need to have hardship injected into your life on occasion just to make it apparent that the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. How can people live having nothing that scares them, frustrates them, or angers them, or enrages them? I don't understand how that kind of thing could exist. Maybe it's because I've been brought up with aggression. You know? It's sort of my thing. And in order to cover the aggression and make up for all the damage I've done to myself because of it, you know, you got to talk about things in a funny, fun kind of way, don't you? Because really, who wants to listen to angry yelling and screaming? You know? Frustrated shrieks. Pain and anguish. Maybe people don't want to listen to that. Maybe they perhaps should want to listen to that on occasion to know what it's like. Maybe you should do it yourself. You're feeling frustrated at the world, at everything. You tried yelling, you know, just really like, into the wind. It could be fun. It could relieve some tension. Then again, might freak out the neighbors and they might call some gobber who'll beat you to death for shrieking and make you shriek while he's beating you to death. I know I shouldn't make jokes about people getting beaten to death by cops, but, you know, in fact, that's the end of my train of thought on that statement. Really. You can't make jokes about people getting beaten to death by the cops. It's really not cool, bro, eh? Example. Name me a Rodney King joke. I ain't never heard one. That's because a person will get killed for making a joke about that kind of thing. Maybe that's the reason why riots, uprisings, and everything happens. It's because somebody takes something too far, so far that a joke can't be made out of it. And if it can be made out of it, people will be enraged instead of amused. And you make matters worse. You know, I was just thinking about this. Whole lot of people on mainstream media, they do one little slip up. And it becomes media sensation, and people come up to you on the street and ask you about it. It's like you have to walk on eggshells when you're on camera. You watch what you say the whole time, all polished. Nothing to give the game away. This is a terrible job, in my opinion. One where you can't be free to express everything in its rich detail for fear of offending this person or that person or fending off that lawsuit or this lawsuit. Oh, I seem to have lost something here. Have we been cut off here? I don't think so. That's really strange. Okay, well, until the world ends, we will assume that it intends to spin on. That's the number one rule of talk radio and Nick Fury of the Avengers. So thinking of this, the world, right? Can you even fathom that thought? Oh, let's talk about the world. Let's talk about humanity. Bro, have you been to the world? Like, every square inch of it? Have you met all the various people in these many diverse cultures? Well over 200 countries, bro. And a lot of those countries are, like, divided into all these different ethnic groups and ancient tribal peoples and stuff. This place is a really strange interwoven web of weirdness. It's quite extraordinary when you think about it, because there's no way you could possibly comprehend it. There's no computer program that you can go to and just say, oh, this is how the world's working today, you know, just show you everything all at once. Right? You have to be like a god in order to be able to process that kind of stuff. And this is why I get really frustrated when I hear politicians say, well, you know, oh, this is what America wants, these are what Americans want. I'm like, dude, I've met a lot of Americans. A lot. And they all have different thoughts, desires, and goals in life. Different dreams. Isn't that what America's all about? So I find the whole idea of a presidential election kind of ironic, because you've got a nation that was inherently bound to individualism trying to appeal to collectivism and democracy. and then use that entire thing to undermine everybody's freaking rights. That's what happens when you try to think so grand to a design that you don't even comprehend in the first freaking place, about places you've never been, people you never met, history you've been never told. Try to be humble once in a while, unlike me. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio 4 nights a week. And I love the whole idea of doing regular talk radio again. I know I keep saying it, and I know I keep doing it, and that's what makes it so fun, because there's something regular, there's something... It's like a laxative for the brain, if you say it. You know how sometimes you get a bit blocked up there and you need to like just ramble some BS to people in order to get it off your chest, sort of thing, out of your sinus places, out of the crevicey places of the cockles of your heart and whatnot, you know, just kind of pour it out, you know. That's what it is. It's a verbal laxative, talk radio, isn't it? You get it all off your chest. And that's why when I'm interviewing people, I'm not really – I'm actually kind of ashamed to admit it, but yet I kind of feel justified in it anyway. But I don't research my guests or what they're going to be talking about. I'm in this conversation and I'm in it, and all I've got is this conversation. So I'm not going to be somebody's defense attorney or, you know, defend them on Facebook about all sorts of stuff if people attack them, because I just had a conversation with them. I'm not talking about anything. Just wanted to, like, say hello to somebody and get to know them a little bit, have a chat, talk about some interesting stuff, have a great conversation. Now, there's a format to news that people are all uppity about. There's these deadlines and news stories, fact-basing, triple-checking, credible evidence and what have you. So you might hear some people on this show that could well be wrong in their assertions about what they're talking about. But a lot of the times I find that you'll hear those rumors about various different people. And sometimes if you just get them in a normal conversation, you know, they're not being attacked or anything, you find they're actually pretty choice. They're not aggro or, you know, nasty. They're not taking bribes from nobody. They're just good, decent people who are working real hard on some particular avenue of their life. No matter what they're exposing, no matter what they're building, what they're inventing, everybody's got their own little path in life. And I don't think you can measure everybody else's path using your own yardstick. Kind of a bit centric thinking. But of course, there's some things that are just wrong. You know, oh my God. That was funny, that joke yesterday with Alfred Weber. what was it? Oh, yeah. There'd be like a presidential conference, you know, where all the past presidents and everything were just at a conference together. And Clinton's just got exposed over this recent pedophile gig, right? And so they'd be like, oh my God, Bill, Hillary, Vinnie Eastwood's coming over here with a microphone to ask you questions. And they go, oh my God, quick, hide behind the bushes. Oh, that still gets me every time. I love it. I love it. Because you can't take politics too seriously, can you? Otherwise, it drives you freaking nuts. Can you imagine if, like, I had this dream once. It's a wonderful dream. It's a shame I woke up. I went to bed, right? And I woke up and suddenly there's like a news report and it finds out that there's all this factual evidence why there's no conspiracies of any kind and everything's actually all sweet as, just like the way it was. You can't put the genie back in the bottle, can you? Oh, God. It's like the cipher in The Matrix. God, The Matrix is full of metaphors. Shoot me dead. Where? in the frickin' planet. Can you find a movie that is more iconic with metaphors in terms of the way that things really work in this world, in a metaphorical sense of the word, of course, other than The Matrix? It's just epic and freaking iconic. The ideas in it are very, very advanced, I think, for the time, even now. Sometimes you hear an idea and you won't really get it, doesn't really strike true to you. Sometimes somebody has to actually explain to you the importance of an idea before you start valuing it, before you start trying to sacrifice something in your general personal existence in some kind of way in order to ensure that that idea continues. How can we walk 1,000 miles and not know where we're going? One step at a time. That's how. Doesn't matter what your destination is. There's a whole lot of random things going on out there. Like I said, think about the world. Think about all the people in it. Think about all the infinite directions they're going, all the infinite things that they're thinking at infinite different time zones and days, days of the week and times of the year. All right? Too much information to plot a course through, I think. There's so much more to learn. I just sit here sometimes and feel really sad because I feel stupid. And I think that I might be getting worse if I don't admit how stupid I am. You ever think about that? You just sit there and you go, oh my God, I can't escape it anymore. Been a freaking idiot. How do I get over that? How long have I been a freaking idiot for? How long have I been living my life in a haze, barely even remember one day to the next, so full of monotony and nothing exciting? How can you really get through that? How do you get over all these past memories of every single mess up you've ever made, every time you've said something silly to a girl, every time you've done something really foolish with the boys, every time you've been arrested by a cop or disciplined by your dad or had all of these really nasty kind of experiences that shape you? It's that kind of acceptance thing, isn't it? It's the ultimate goal. But apparently, just reading this earlier today, not everybody achieves the acceptance stage in the 5 stages of grief. Isn't that really tragic? That there are people whose denial and anger is strong enough to keep them from ever accepting their grief. That's half the truth movement right there, man. We're in denial about so many things and angry about so many other things that we can't accept what's happening. What does acceptance of the New World Order even look like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? What does accepting a New World Order taste like? And when I say accepting a New World Order, I'm not saying lay down your arms. I'm saying just accepting the fact that it's there. No longer in denial about it, but no longer angry about it either. I've accepted that it's there. That's when you have to get over it. That's when you have to do something about it. And then what's interesting is you also go through that grief process again, or at least I did, giving up a quote-unquote normal life because I couldn't do anything else. Like freaking panic attacks going to job interviews. Still can't even do it. There's the very thought of putting on a monkey suit and doing door knocking. Mate, there's blackout. Can't even handle that stuff, man. Trying to manage here. Trying to keep it together. Maybe you find that real ironic spur of humanity. Someone who's actually really weak and really afraid. It just goes out and attacks the really biggest, nastiest, scariest scum that there are. You know, what other choice have you got? All the accumulated scum of history. Democracy. It's like a stew. You don't stir it up every now and again. You get a layer of scum that builds up on the top. It's pretty nasty scum too. Wouldn't you agree? We've got this real painful sensation that we might lose, you know, humanity in general, the whole gold rush of freedom as we all run towards the front to take a bullet. Or maybe there's a disinformation campaign that is so effective at making us think that the world's against us. The freedom lovers and people who actually want to expose the cabal and the elite and the scumbaggery. What if there's actually a majority of people who don't like these scum? Just waiting to be mobilized, waiting to be encouraged, and the mainstream media suppresses all that encouragement. Imagine that. What if you could door knock as a truther and say, "Hi, I'm Vinny, I'm your neighbor from a few doors down, and I just wanted to know which people on my street would classify themselves as kind of like believing in conspiracies and that there's corruption and scumbaggery in society, and it should be, you know, kind of opposed, and some love, laughter, joy, and fun be injected back into society instead of drudgery, protocol, and bureaucracy." Don't know how that would work, but we'll see. Ever think about that speech, Martin Luther King, "I have a dream"? What is your dream? It'd be interesting to find out one day, wouldn't it? What is my dream? My actual one-off top, I've seen to the top of the mountain kind of dream. Wonder what it is. Think about that. And we're going to go to break. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, folks. Hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live 4 days a week on American Freedom Radio. And I believe this archives on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show .com, as well as the smartphone apps and what have you. So please attempt to listen in when you can, because it's not just my show on this network. There's a number of others that are freaking fantastic. Really, really good listening. It's part of the reason why I was so gutted that American Freedom Radio went in the first place, is because they had a lineup of consistently like really awesome talent from one show to the next. It was such a great thing, and so great even more that it's back. Do appreciate those things. When things you thought were lost and gone forever will return to you, limping, as it were. Oh my goodness. Let's think about for a moment that dream idea I was talking about. What's my freaking dream? I don't know. I kind of want to be into every single form of entertainment that there is. You know, make movies and sing opera and be a rock star, performance poet, stand-up comedian, talk radio show host, documentary filmmaker, TV shows. It'd be great. Imagine, you know, having all that different variable experience in your work life. Be fun, don't you think? Be difficult to get bored. Or at least that's what I reckon. Be choice. But what kind of a dream is that? Is it just doing, you know, all of these things just for the love of it? No. I want to contribute to each of those fields in a unique way. That's, you know, honest and really passionate, ultimately, about the truth, about scumbaggery, and exposing that stuff. Man, I love to expose scumbaggery. Even got a t-shirt printed. You know the I Love New York t-shirts with the heart instead of the word love? I got my I Love to Expose Scumbaggery t-shirt with a big old heart instead of the love. Oh, it's classic. Because I do. There was only one time. And I can't believe I'm saying this. It's only been one time when I've actually rejoiced about something. Truly rejoiced in terms of the realm of activism and getting something tangible accomplished. And that was in New Zealand, where the former mayor, John Banks, and he was also a member of the leader of the ACT Party, little coalition party that works with the New Zealand government here. Rubber stamp, love those people. And turns out, he'd been involved in a bit of scumbaggery. Who would have thunk it? Gangster like that? Who's a Freemason? Who's a high-level Freemason? Oh, no, never. But dig this. Got privately prosecuted and won. Mr. Graham McCready. But now John Banks is appealing. Of course he is. These people never go down without a fight. And like, they've told so many lies to get their reputation. Then what's a few hundred more to prevent their false reputation being tarnished? Throw as much money at it as they can, and then complain about the expense of trying to prove everybody that you're innocent when you were freaking guilty, and just lying blatantly like a straight up sociopath. And you feel that jubilation when somebody actually nails the SOB. Wouldn't that be great to see that? Barack Obama down on his luck. Or George Bush Senior. Somebody really high, an official who's like a recognizable name in your country, who you didn't like from the outset. Somebody who's a bit of a scumbag. And some more added on top, like a wee cherry on a pile of scumbaggery whipped cream, served softly and gently, spoonful by spoonful, over generations, convincing everybody from childhood to adolescence and adulthood that there's nothing to worry about, that everything's fine. Meanwhile, they kill, rape, pillage, and basically act like a pack of pirates who have no rules, only guidelines, really. When I think about this trauma and suffering, it makes me really, really angry, you know? Because I just think about this. How many freaking times has somebody been killed, beaten up, stabbed, whatever, traumatized, abused, raped, had their stuff stolen off them by somebody working for the government, and that person working for the government gets away with it scot-free? How many times? Innumerable. Goodness knows, there's only the reported stuff that these people get away with. And it seems, you know, everybody like touts up these examples like, oh, this really bad corrupt cop went to jail, or this really bad doctor, etc., who was prescribed way too much cancer medication than he should have, went to jail as well. Well, that's great, bro. I'm glad that there's a singular piece of meat out there. Meanwhile, the deeper issue and the grander design and the more perplexing problems are completely overlooked and remain unsolved, because far more powerful criminal L, it's kind of like Kal-El, you know, Superman's alter ego. Did I say alter ego as well as criminal L? Oh my god, the slip ups and missed tongues. Did I say missed tongues as well? Can you say missed tongues on FCC regulated? I hope you can. Anyway, what I was saying is that we, and I'm talking about like the royal we here from the Big Lebowski, have got a serious attention span problem. I think that's the only reason why we can believe any of our politicians. Any of them. Because we can't remember the lies they've told us. We can't remember the truths that have surfaced. Don't you find that true? People just don't remember. You go and argue with people, oh, Barack Obama's a terrible president, terrible. And they're like, no, he's done really great things for America and everything. And I was like, okay, name one bill that he's passed. No, can you? Not the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act. Well, goodness knows how many other spy bills and legislations and increases in military spending and banker bailout bills and keeping Guantanamo alive and well, you know. Reneged on damn near everything he ever said. But you don't remember it. And it never happened. How can people forget? There's quite a few things that can mess with your memory. For example, 30-second news pieces. Because they're always followed by, and now, this. You forget instantly. Whatever it was you're doing. It's almost like a form of subliminal mind control. I found out as well, mind control's addictive, bro. Truly. Fabulously. Addictive. If you're sitting there, and you're being mind controlled, the chances are you're liking it. You know, it's the entertainment industry, isn't it? It's probably why I want to be a part of it. Because I've got the funny idea that you can reverse and invert things. Let's say, for instance, Facebook was designed to get the data on people and be generally dastardly. What if you used Facebook to organize a mass awareness campaign of the dastardly intention? You know, take everything that is currently being used for a bad purpose and see if you can invert it, see if you can use it for the opposite of its intended purpose. And we're not talking about like intended purposes and, oh, Facebook was only created to data mine. It was only funded by several CIA front companies that were disguised as venture capitalists. True story. You can look it up if you want. CIA didn't think that they could develop all the computer programs and everything that were coming up in the world by themselves. It was just too expensive. So they started up a whole bunch of venture capital companies to go out and basically search the sphere and look for technologies that they think might be applicable to their purposes. And boy, did Zuckerberg give him one. Oh, man, the stuff that I've put on Facebook. I love this new term, non-violent extremist. Right? I'm classified as one of them. Bro, I'm extremely non-violent. There's something wrong with that, apparently. The double speak, the craziness. Does anybody even make up their minds what stuff means in front of them anymore? I mean, do we cling to certainty now? Just as a matter of course, like, you know, everything's totally up in the air and it's completely uncertain, but I'm just going to pretend like certain things are real, real solid and everything, and just kind of go about my daily life and try not to look into the things that I think are a little bit outside my comfort zone. Yeah, pretty much described about 90% of the general public there, didn't I? Sorry to alienate you guys. Is that what this broadcast is for, you reckon? I get a lot of people telling me, you know, you should try and make it more popular. It's like, the popularity of this show only matters to me in as such that if somebody listens to one of these broadcasts and then stops listening to broadcasts, stops watching the television and starts making their own content, and that could be any kind of content. Are you contributing a technology to the universe? Then that's the whole point of it. All right, that's what good management is about, apparently, is to manage everything so well that you make yourself completely obsolete. That's my ultimate goal in working life, is to make myself obsolete. So if you're doing a show, trying to wake people up, and you're excited that more numbers are listening to your show, maybe you're not waking people up, bro. Maybe you're just getting them to tune in. You ever think about that? The hours you waste absorbing information when you could be out there spreading it to people who never heard it before in their life and participate in something different for them by putting your own spin on it, learning how to do it yourself from scratch. I know I keep going on about it, but it's so freaking true. But anyway, I'm sure the network won't be very happy with me telling them to turn off the radio. Yeah. I'm getting the word now. I'm just joking. We can't do that. I love the idea, though, that you can meet people. Seriously, I've spoken to so many listeners who want to, get me to interview people for them. And sure, I will. But I think that you'd probably enjoy it a lot more if you were the one interviewing them. People do podcasts all the time. You don't even need a network or anything, and you can get websites that you can upload stuff for free for crying out loud. You could do a 5 or a 10 minute conversation. All it takes is a contact form and an email address, and maybe a simple $20 program off the internet to record the Skype call. It's quite simple. If you want to talk to these really amazing people, instead of getting somebody else to talk to them for you, it's within your grasp, it's within your power to do it. But, you know, it kind of takes courage to email someone out of the blue and ask them to have a conversation. We'll be right back after the break. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio on American Freedom Radio and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Great place to listen live, and you can sit there and watch all the little sliders go past of all the other interesting little interviews and things that have happened over the long period of time. But of course, it probably looks like crap on a smartphone. Did you know that almost like a third of traffic to websites all around the place is done via cell phone now? Can you believe that? I freaking hate browsing the internet on a cell phone. It's probably because I don't have to leave the office much. You know, you'll be surprised what you can achieve via Skype and a recorder and a few camera pieces of gear and microphones and lighting and what have you without having to actually go to locations. Saves a lot of gas, I guess, especially if you have to drive 10,000 miles across an ocean. That probably wouldn't work very much. Actually, that happened to my mum, or mom, as Americans would say. She went into the Bronx, right? And she said that she was from New Zealand. And go, oh my God, did you have a long drive? I don't think that's a Bronx accent, though. But oh my God, the geographical knowledge, it's really lacking somewhat. It's really strange, in New Zealand, the culture's like this. About a fifth of our population doesn't live in New Zealand. Right? There's about 1 million Kiwis abroad, and there's 4 million people in New Zealand, give or take 20%, right? We're very well-traveled people. There's this kind of rite of passage that they call the Big OE, Big Overseas Experience. You go around Europe or America or China or wherever. You just see the world, and then you return home, and then you start living your life and finding your wife and having kids and getting the home together and what have you. I guess some people don't do this. And in the United States, I think nearly half of you don't have passports, even more than half, I think. It's incredible. So many people have like been living in the center of the country, haven't even seen the ocean. You know? At all. Once. Doesn't mean that your surroundings aren't beautiful, but it means that you don't know how beautiful something is until you've seen it compared really closely to something else. Something that you can actually be in. Yeah, you can touch and you can smell and you can hear the sounds around you. Like the difference between describing a dance party festival to somebody and actually being there. Seeing all the lights and the performers and feeling the bass shudder through your body and make ripples in the skin. That kind of thing has to be experienced in order to be felt to its full effect. And unfortunately now, we're coming into an age where explaining things to people becomes sort of like running through a minefield. Really, really trepidatious to explain things. Because anything that we say might get misinterpreted or blown out of proportion and end up very badly for us. Don't like that. I don't know. Something drilled into me. I don't think somebody else drilled it into me. I think it drilled it into myself. I don't like hanging around people where I can't be myself around them. You felt like that? You're going to go to a job interview or any kind of social interaction with somebody that's like, you know, sort of important or whatever. And you put on this face. This false little face that's there. Something to sort of soak it up. So that you're trying to, you know, say as little as possible, but also trying to be charming and trying to enthrall this person and gain the favor with them. And I don't know. Sometimes you get rewarded, other times not. I'm just wondering, how bad is a world where you have to change who you are in order to get rewards that you deserve? Because you can only get those rewards from certain people. Now, is it changing yourself from the better? I don't know. Maybe if you're like a drunkard and a lout, very uncultured kind of person, and you have to like hold your manners and not make sexual jokes for just a couple of minutes during an interview. Maybe not have that half bottle of whiskey this morning. Does that ring any bells, you know? A little bit of common sense, something of that nature. I believe that there is quite a lot of irresponsibility permeating throughout society. It's been festering, sitting there growing like a fungus on feet for a long time. Long, long time. And it's gotten bad. Metastasizing. Is that even a word? I don't even know. One time, it might be a bit too much, where you kind of think, you know, this gratuitous ad is insulting my frickin' intelligence. And I think that we've become really, really tolerant of other people, you know, to, of course, wash away some of that frustration by having a few drinks or relaxing with a TV, a show or a movie or whatever. That's cool, bro. No worries. Just as long as every single day you're doing nothing. I mean, well, let me rephrase. Just as long as you're doing something every day, just in some little way, to mess with the establishment just a little bit, you know, a little naughty text message there, bit of hidden code, a little bit of symbolism, you know. I'm sure that's how the elite do it, you know. It's just like, oh, bro, you know what we'll do, man? What? We'll put a bridge up, right, over the Thames River. And they're like, yeah. So another one, like, yeah, bro, just another bridge. And they go, why? What's so special about this bridge? And they go, bro, dig this. We're going to do a sculpture in the side of the bridge so that when the sunlight shines through it, it casts a shadow of a wang, bro. A wang. And you go, dude, a wang shadow. And he's like, yeah, man, across the whole bridge, just row after row of wang. And you're like, dude, how have we not built this already? We need to get onto this project pronto. Where in the living hell is the stonemason that we need for this job? Okay, that's basically how architecture works, bro. Yeah. And if you think I'm joking about this Wang Shadow Bridge in London, I'm not. Just, you know, search expletive deleted aforementioned male organ part bridge in London, and you will see photos of these shadows of Wangs. Maybe they're a shadow of their former self. But, you know, the world's full of this really interesting little things that people have done over the years that kind of still remain today and still have an effect. And the thing is, we're all those people. Those conversations that you have with all these children or whatever, just a particular time in their life, after they've had a fight or they've been punished or whatever. Sometimes that little guiding voice or word or hug at the right time will be remembered and will actually be a very valued memory for a long period of time to come. And we've all got that ability to affect the lives of others, really, just by being nice to people, you know? If you see people in real trouble or something, just try to take a moment out of your day. I mean, if it's possible at all, you know, stop and help. Imagine that. Walking into a city like New York, have millions of people pounding the pavement, and imagine they'd all, like, stop to help someone if they saw someone fall or whatever. If everybody's just kind of protective of each other, and see someone getting mugged, all of a sudden about six people break rank from just walking about their daily business and just grab this guy and then give you your stuff back. Take his gun away from him and hold him for the police. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Like that kind of community spirit. But no. Everybody's got somewhere to be, somewhere to go. They've got deadlines and watches and clocks and that sort of thing. And on top of it, how much stuff goes on in the average day? Not a whole lot, eh? Notice how emergencies are quite rare. To even really even see somebody in trouble is quite a rare occasion. In a lot of cases, anyway. Not sure what the case would be in New York. Probably see people getting... You probably get mugged four times on the way home from work each week. Who knows? I'd probably wager it's probably a lot nastier there. And in Chicago. Gun bans, bro. It's amazing that criminals don't follow laws, eh? So when you ban the guns, who are the ones who hand in the guns? The criminals or the lawful gun owners that use them for actual protection? You guessed it. Only the lawful gun owners turn their weapons in, and the criminals keep them. Except now, they've got unarmed victims. You know, 9 out of 10 criminals agree that it's better to have an unarmed victim. I don't know why 1 out of 10 criminals thinks that it's cool to have them when they're armed. Maybe they're like the very, very upper class kind of mafioso or whatever who thinks there's just no sport in it if he's not packing. Want to at least have a... You want to have at least a chance that he'll shoot back at you, you know? Otherwise, it's just cowardly, man. Just cowardly. Isn't that like a Mexican mafia don? It'd be great. Can imagine the mustache and the shadowy scenes with cigars. How the light would flicker and set the scene for an enormous quantity of scumbaggery, planning and scheming and debauchery. Reminds me of the Oval Office and the Nixon administration. The drug war. Nixon's gift to mankind. here we are, sitting in a time where there's more Americans in prison than virtually ever before. A lot of them non-violent drug offenders. In private prisons, no less. So people are making money off of the state and people's taxes by keeping them in prison. That strike you as a fantastically cruel thing to do to people. Slavery is alive and well in our society. We were born in it, molded by it, shaped in every way. And I wonder, there's no yardstick, is there, to say, hey, you're now awake? Is there any rite of passage? Who gets to qualify as being, say, oh yeah, I know what's going on? Me and a select group of other people know what's going on. And the rest of you maggots better do what we say. Better hang on our every word. Because we're the enlightened ones. I wonder how many people have surfaced over the years and claim to have the one solution. Well, that everything's going to be solved all too quickly. Soon enough, they say, soon enough. This secret society that was propped up to support that secret society is broken off, and there's a war going on, and it'll all be over soon, and you can just sit back, or 2012's coming. These things that terrify and capture the imagination and the attention of large amounts of people are, I wonder how costly it is. How many people lose faith or lost faith in, you know, like talk radio and patriotism and journalism and so many, you know, things that we thought were really valuable and were really powerful. After 2012 fell over and had nothing happen with it. You know, it was that big movie. Everybody been talking about it for years leading up to it. Watched heaps of documentaries and things all over it. And nothing freaking happened, bro. People are still saying that, oh, you know, subtle energetic shifts and changes have happened and we're charting a new course in humanity. That could be well possible. But then again, charting new courses in humanity kind of happens all the time, doesn't it? Just depends whether you're willing to act on it during your chosen moment. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break. Final segment right here on American Freedom Radio of the Vinny Eastwood Show. At thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, that's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood isn't go ahead, make my news. And go ahead, start up a $5 a month donation today and support the broadcast and a lot of the guests and everything that are getting on here. Because it's quite a lot of work. If you don't do it, you kind of don't know. It's sort of like a constant thing. Always messages and emails and Skype calls and stuff coming in from here from all directions, all times of the day and night. It's like being in the middle of a maelstrom. It's exciting. It's like having a waking up to 9 assassin's daggers in your pillow some nights, you know? It's like, oh my God, look at what happened while I was sleeping. It's the problem with staying up to date, isn't it? Becomes exhausting after a while. And that's, I think, where I started to fade out of the staying up to date and the reading the news articles and everything like that. Because I don't know. If I haven't heard it before, then it's news to me. And you'll be surprised what's happened, what's happening, and what's going to happen that you've yet to hear about. There's a large, large world out there. Let's try and make it a good one. But do it in our own way. I don't want to criticize anybody here, but I'm kind of like over movements, you know, people's movements that they've got going. I'm building a movement, I'm doing this, I'm... I'm not being like cynical. I'm just really over being a member of things, you know. It's like some people just can't do the membership thing, really, or be part of an organization. Some people are sort of really a law unto their own, kind of outside the norm. It's very difficult to think in these terms, but I can go into so many different groups and everything who treat me like I'm a member, even though I'm not a member. You know, different organizations and public meetings and things of that nature, because I really do show everything as it is. And I've had to prove that to people a number of times, because they're understandably suspicious if somebody's pointing a camera at them in a public meeting, because they think, well, this person might be mainstream media, might be cooking up a little story with his little rat fingers clutched at that red record button there. And, you know, sometimes they're right. There are actual predators out there with cameras. Not me, though. You see the video afterwards, and it's like anything that's been edited out is something to make it actually better. And, you know, cutting out ums and ahs sometimes so that people appear to be speaking real fluently with a couple of different camera angles and what have you. The work that goes into it to make activists who are really good people who just don't, you know, kind of have the run-of-the-mill gift of the gab sort of thing, but they've still got a great message, they can be edited and make it sound like a great message. And so when I do that kind of thing for people, they sort of trust me because they know that I'm not going to make them look bad. If anything, I'm going to make them look better than they actually are. I mean, just for the entertainment's sake, of course. Because let's face it, mate, if you're watching a video and somebody's talking about some real important stuff, it helps if there's kind of like a little bit of a pace to it, don't you think? Instead of it's long and slow and completely unedited, that can be frustrating. And another dude complaining, dude, you got to hear this. Back in the day, right, before YouTube got killed and everything good about it got sucked out of it like the marrow from a bone of an ancient freaking man. You used to be able to watch the YouTube videos in double speed, 1.5 speed, stuff like that, right? So if you're talking reasonably slowly and you just up the speed a bit, you can get like a hour-long lecture that's being slowly spoken, completely intelligible, and watch the whole thing in half an hour. Isn't that cool? But they took that away. And I was helping out one guy today who's doing a lot of videos, including reading out court transcript documentation about the criminal scumbags that, you know, take kids in everybody's countries. It's the same kind of pedophile network that we're talking about with Alfred Weber. And seems like it's impossible to find your own videos on your own YouTube channel. I mean, like, to get to the background to where you can adjust your own videos and all of that kind of stuff. Not just, you know, your YouTube page for other people to look at, but where the hell are my videos? Where the hell are they? No easy button or anything. You have to go into the creator studio underneath this other little bar, this little picture that looks like you. It's like, dude, this was not made for ease of use. And I had to learn how to find my videos. Because previously I had this thing bookmarked. Check it every day, just quick glance at how many hits or whatever has been going on there, read a few of the comments. And it was suddenly real difficult for me, and I got like 17,000, 18,000 subscribers, and I can't even find my videos if I had to do it manually. Just had to learn that today to teach somebody else. So you can upload like 50 minutes of him reading court documentation, you know, help him and edit it for him and put it up there. Because there's so many people, especially fathers, have been screwed over by the child kidnappers that work for the government, mate. Oh my God. Talk about allegations without evidence being taken as true and utter fact by the courts, the family court. Oh my God. Bunch of scum. Most dastardly pedophile rapist. Ugh. I'm not talking about all the employees. You don't even know how annoying that is. To have to define that when you're talking about scumbaggery within an organization, you don't mean the freaking toilet cleaners. You don't mean the good people that are just sitting there keeping their heads down when they work. No, you're specifically referring to those people who actually fit those characteristics within that control structure, of which there are many. For example, scumbaggery, pedophile filth in the child protection system. Where's the last place you would expect to find pedophile criminal filth? That's right. In a place that says that they protect children from pedophile filth. Isn't that a brilliant scheme? And before you know it, you got a whole global network running. All these little governments and all their little departments taking payoffs and up to payoffs. Employing known pedophiles. This is nasty stuff, bro. And it's too much information for one man, one organization. It's really up to all the fathers out there who've had their kids taken by the state to record themselves, their own testimony and everything, and upload it to YouTube. Do it yourself. You don't need anybody else. If you've got a recording device and a computer, you can upload that stuff. You can learn, can't you? I'd like to be able to do that for people, because it's like, I almost don't trust people to edit my stuff now, because it's like, I don't have that infrastructure down. I can't teach somebody to edit like how I edit, because I don't even know how I edit. I just do it. Maybe there's a general idea here or there, but yeah, just kind of wing it. It'd be nice to plan something really, really awesome. Which is why we're getting into the documentary script now. It's going to be very, very good. A lot of people have made documentaries about specific subjects that have made a whole lot of sense and elucidated one particular topic matter. And what I'm going to do is probably take a lot of that information that great filmmakers and documentarians over time have accumulated and give a kind of broad brush overview of all these different eclectic topics that are assailing us daily. If you want to support that project, we're taking donations at thevinnyeselshow.com. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again sometime, folks.